Hi, welcome to a Stanlib Economic Podcast. My name is Kevin Ings and I'm the Chief Economist within Stanlib. Once a quarter, the Institute of International Finance provides an update on global debt. Now, that update is incredibly comprehensive in terms of the array of data they provide because they survey more than 60 countries and they also provide debt at a micro level. By that, I mean they provide debt for governments, for corporates, for household sector, and they do that on a quarterly basis. So it ends up being a huge amount of information. But I thought it might be useful to look at that data and extract some of the key data points and help to put South Africa's debt within an international context. And so hopefully that's what we're able to do today. So let's start with looking at where global debt is, and then we'll drill down into South Africa and some of the specifics. And fortunately, in South Africa, it's not all bad news. We're a lot more indebted, but there are elements which I would say are a key advantage to South Africa. So if we look at global debt, it's risen to a record high. I don't think that's any surprise. It sits at $311.8 trillion, which is an enormous amount to get your head around. If you divide that by the number of people in the world, then we have a debt per person that is $38,200. Now, you can debate whether that's high or low. I would consider it fairly high if you think that that average is worked out across the entire global population and not simply people that are of a working age. And as I say, it's been going up at a fairly rapid pace over the last 10 years. Global debt has risen between 3 and 4% a year, which is on the high side. It has exceeded the growth in population over that time, and it's obviously exceeded the growth in world GDP. And as a consequence, our debt to GDP ratio for the world has moved up quite considerably. Now, if we break down that debt by country, a couple of key things become apparent. The first, and probably the most important, is that two countries explain 85% of the increase in world debt over the last 10 years. And I don't think it's any surprise that those two countries are the United States and China. And they both increased their debt by a similar amount. If we then add an additional four countries to that list, in other words, we include the debt of India, South Korea, France, and Canada, then those six countries together explain more than 95% of the increase in world debt over the last 10 years, which then highlights that the rest of the world hasn't actually become substantially more indebted. In fact, there are a list of 14 countries that have been able to reduce their debt in absolute terms over the last 10 years. And there's a list of 22 countries that have been able to reduce their debt to GDP over the last 10 years. That doesn't mean those countries haven't increased their debt. What it does mean is they've increased their debt slower than the increase in their GDP, which is encouraging because it means that the debt level has become a lot more affordable. And so it's a lot better in terms of overall fiscal management of the country. If I look at South Africa, we're the most indebted we've ever been in absolute value terms. We sit with a total debt that is pretty much $700 billion. And obviously it has increased quite substantially over the last 10 years or the last 20 years. But a breakdown of South Africa's debt reveals that most of that increase has been driven by the public sector. I don't think that's any surprise to people, but that increase in government debt by global standards is exceptionally high. So when we look at the increase in South African debt and we talk about it within a South African context, I think what we don't appreciate is that same discussion in a global context puts South Africa's increase in government debt one of the highest in the world. In fact, the Institute of International Finance suggests that South Africa's government would be seventh on the list in terms of governments that have increased their debt the most since 1990. That's not a great list to be on, and it certainly helps to explain why our international credit rating has come down and why we simply can't leverage the government's balance sheet in order to grow this economy. Fortunately, if we look at private sector debt, if we first look at household debt, that remains manageable. It sits at around about 30 to 40% of GDP, and it's actually moved lower over the last 10 years as a ratio of GDP. Now, that doesn't mean we can go and leverage the household sector's balance sheet. The reason is that we've got an incredibly high level of unemployment. A 32% level of unemployment is not an environment where you want to go and leverage household debt unless you see an increase in jobs being created, particularly in the formal sector. So what the level of household debt suggests to me is that if we could get to a position where we add in substantial jobs, then there's a lot of potential leverage out of consumer spending that would help to grow South Africa. But we first need to create the jobs. What we don't want to try to do is leverage the household sector without an increase in employment. That would end up with bad debts and it would end up putting a huge amount of strain on the banking sector. And then finally, the key strength for South Africa and the standout data, as far as I'm concerned, is how low South Africa's corporate debt is. If I look at our total level of corporate debt, that sits below 40% of GDP and has been generally trending sideways, certainly over the last 5 years and generally over the last 10 years. So South African corporates have been incredibly conservative in how they've managed debt. But if you then consider that our corporate debt, let's call it 35% of GDP, and we compare that with the corporate debt average for emerging markets, that sits at 90%. Now, that 90% is obviously boosted by China and the fact that their state-owned enterprises have become substantially more indebted. So if we adjust the data to then take that those levels of numbers out of the data calculation, then we end up with an average for emerging markets of around 60%. But even 60% is twice as indebted as South Africa's corporates, which suggests that any way you carve this up, South Africa's corporate debt is very low within an emerging market context. If you then look at where corporate debt is for developed markets, that also sits at close to 90%, slightly below 90% at about 88%, but that is incredibly high. And again, it illustrates that South Africa's corporate debt is very low. So that becomes hugely advantageous if we can find a way to leverage that corporate balance sheet appropriately. What would be appropriately? Well, to me, it would be to use the corporate balance sheet to try and drive public-private partnerships. And if we can start to get those investments underway, particularly focused on some of the economic infrastructure, then that in itself would start to lift South Africa's growth rate. And once we get better growth rate, then presumably business confidence would pick up further and we would start to get an unlock of the corporate balance sheet more broadly. Once you do that, you create jobs, and once you've got jobs, you create consumer activity, and hopefully that then becomes self-reinforcing. So I think the fact that we've got very low corporate debt is a massive advantage for South Africa if we use it wisely, which means that the policy pronouncements from the government need to increasingly focus on how government and the private sector can work together to unlock South Africa's infrastructure backlog, with the idea that once you start to unlock that backlog in a meaningful way, then you would entice the broader corporate sector to expand, invest, and employ, and then you have a successful country. Unfortunately, beyond that, as an idea, there are not many options available for South Africa to grow. It would be near impossible for us to simply use the public sector balance sheet to try and create infrastructure or try and grow the economy. There simply isn't the capacity to do that. Equally, you can't use the household sector. The only real sensible option for South Africa is to make greater use of private sector balance sheets and to focus on infrastructure initially and then see if we can broaden that out into broad-based private sector business investment. Hope that makes some sense, and we'll chat soon. Thanks a lot.